you're jumping onto white base.
All right, hello and welcome to Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod, our giant robot sideshow here at the old Stasis Pod. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Tig Notaro is the perfect Gundam name. I'm David.
She does have a very Gundam name.
It is.
Although I would note that her character on Star Trek, Jet Reno, has more of a Gundam name.
That's also a very Gundam name.
Yeah, but that's more like later Gundam or something. That feels like G Gundam, because it's more cliche. Tig Notaro just... It's a name that... Well, it is an actual name, but it has like that rhythm of many Gundam names where if you say it out loud enough times, it doesn't really sound like a name because it's constructed of weird parts.
I guess this is the...
Oh, this cat's purring at me. Sorry.
Yeah, so this is the penultimate episode of Mobile Suit Gundam G-Quax.
Yes.
It's all coming down.
Secrets are revealed. Worlds will live. Worlds will die. Etc.
Yes. All that good stuff.
People get shot.
I will Things note that Gundam stories are not generally about multiversal incursions.
No. This is a very odd one.
Well, this is the... they are the new hotness right now. The multiverses.
It's true, and yeah. That is fine with me because I love that stuff. I will eat that up. I am here. I've got my spoon. I've got my bowl. I've got a stack of beaten old Michael Moorcock paperbacks from the 60s. I am here and ready to go.
Yeah, I guess this is more... this one doesn't mind me as much as many things because I've sort of gotten tired of the multiverse thing because they're doing too much of it. This is like... At one point... Another universe is poking into ours like two waveforms are wobbling against each other. It's about the scale of most Gundam endings in that it's kind of big in a localized area. But cosmically, it's not as big as like Marvel's like, oh, this will destroy the multiverse. Many universes will die. It's like, no, this is just going to fuck up Earth a lot.
During COVID, I read some media critics' theory that we're all very into multiverse stories right now because obviously we are in the bad universe.
Yes.
And we just like the idea that thinking that I think this was in relation to Everything Everywhere All at Once, that we like imagining that there's the better version, the better universe is out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where multiverse like storytelling kind of peaked. It's like, we've done that, we can move on.
Nope, I'm here for the duration. I've been here for decades and I'm not going anywhere.
Anyway, we're back to Abaoku being torn to shreds by pink space lights.
Right, that has been totally destroyed by this giant Lovecraftian super weapon.
Meanwhile, previously on Gundam. Horrifying war crimes.
Yes. And it's Neon who is inside this thing. And she's going to fire at Earth, but it needs some time to recharge.
First she feels a disturbance in the force and feels like throwing up.
Yes.
Then she's like, Shuji isn't here, I need a bigger boom, and aims it at Earth. Oh, fuck.
Just like, fortunately for the planet Earth, the weapon needs some time to cool down, which, you know.
Yeah,
which is good because, you
so
know.
So do a lot of people.
That's where we keep all our stuff.
Yes.
Well, in the Universal Century, only about half our stuff. We have space colonies as backups.
I think there are a lot of valid physics questions about how that would affect the colonies.
And this is also where we're talking about Alpha Siders. What is an Alpha Sider?
You know as much as we do.
I believe
this isn't
case,
like an established Gundam term.
No, it is not. But they are referring to the Alpha Psykamu unit in the Rose, a.k.a. the Elsbeth. The Elsbeth.
Yeah.
Whatever night on CBS.
Yes.
Yeah. Alphaciders was not a thing before. As soon as it's said as the episode title, it's like, what's that? And then they say in the episode, and what's that? We still don't
They mentioned the... Yeah. I mean...
It has, like, I guess it's people who can resonate with the Alpha Psycomu unit.
I was going to say...
But aside from that, I don't think it gets explained anywhere.
I was going to say it sounds like a 90s Spider-Man villain.
It does.
Yes, it did. It does. It immediately made me think of, oh, Spider-Side.
If you think of dubious 90s comic plot lines.
Like, he would definitely be a guy who, like, he's your last paid reveal. He's got, like, a zillion pouches. he's got, like, one of those, like, giant grimaces where it looks like he has about, like, 87 teeth.
Yes. God, I mean, I assume it's just people who are going to destroy the Alpha Psycomu. Though, so, Char mentions, as we will get to, we have the return of Char, or the reveal of what Char has been up to. Mm-hmm. There should only be one in the universe, and there are two because the Rose has a second one. I guess is the first in the Red Gundam, or is it in the G-Quax?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the Red Gundam. Okay. Back to the original episode in our flashback time. When the timeline was altered, because Char stole the original Gundam, and that got repainted as the Red Gundam, production on a lot of weird and strange Zeon mobile suits and mobile armors was stopped, including the Elmeth. They had built the Psycomu unit, the Alpha unit, they were going to stick in it, and the fin funnels, well, it's bits, that they were going to put on it. They just never built the Elmeth. They just stuck those things on the Gundam instead, and thus, we have two of them.
So I take it to just mean that it is destroying Alpha side. It's just the act of destroying one of the Alpha Psycomus, which sadly is not as cool as it sounds. It's just like property damage.
And much like the two Ron Silvers in the movie Time Cop, they cannot exist in the same place at the same time.
Yes.
Well, I think it's more because, like, as Char mentions, it, like, they're resonating with each other, and that's creating bad mojo. The Zeknovas!
There's feedback.
That's presumably why Nyan is going through this entire episode like she's got in the throes of a bad hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's having
poor girl
new type feelings she is not prepared for. Anyway, to the actual episode, Nyan starts to go insane, wants to blow up Earth. Here's La La! La La! La. And then Machu shows up to have a little fight.
Yeah, and Charlie has basically eliminated most of Kaecilia's guys here.
Yes.
R.I.P. all those Gyans.
He's going all out, just beating up so many Gyans.
He is giving a very dramatic, like, apologies for having to destroy you. Ooh. I like Shalia. I think Shalia and Xavier need to be a thing. Everybody
but
shipped,
is much younger than him.
Everybody shipping. Yeah, well. Everybody ships Xavier and that the girl on the bridge, and they're in like one shot ever at the end of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the beginning of the show and the end of the show. That's it.
They're in the opening credit shot together, but then otherwise you don't see them together until, like, the very end. The age gap isn't that bad.
Well, Machu is really just determined to get this lady out of the Rose of Sharon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's about here where Nyan and Machu realize who is in the other suit. And it's, you know, it's all very dramatic. You know, how can you work for these people? You know, how can you betray me?
Nyan is just like, I just want to find Shu-chan. Still pining for her fuckboy.
Yeah. This episode is neat, and it's like it's entirely about like six people's motivations fighting against each other, some of whom want the exact same thing, but in different
ways.
I
do like the part where Machu grabs one of the bits from the G-Fred and just chucks it back at her.
Oh, yes.
That's good fighting.
And she boomerang mans it at her.
Also, she refers to Chalia as Beard Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cute.
Definitely one of the weaker Mega Man villains.
Yes.
Get equipped with beard.
Beard boomerang.
He's just got a beard.
Speaking of that girl that Xavier talked to once on the bridge, I think it's her that says no true new type,
yes,
or something like that. Like no, oh yeah, no true new type would like try to kill a Kaecilia, which is what Beardman is trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. Like, well, I think it's more
who's,
no...
Who's no true Scotsman in this shit?
I think it's more that no true new type would, like, try to destroy the Earth so that humanity has to focus on space.
Yeah.
It's a little bigger than just killing Kaecilia.
Yeah.
I thought she was complaining that, like, oh, I don't think he would kill Kaecilia, because new types like Kaecilia. It's like, no, she's just doing new type research, which includes you using them.
So it's now at this point that Machu is seeing like a weird illusory version of Shuji.
Yeah. Oh, is that before or after she uses her Chekhov's gun?
She uses the Chekhov's gun to like shoot this lock.
Yeah.
And like, which, you're really I feel that firing a firearm inside a gun is a real bad idea.
Possibly, yeah. Like, she's shooting it into, like, the whatever it is that is the Omega lock that prevents her from using the full potential of this fully operational Gundam. And it being fully operational summons four thingies? They look like mini black holes, I guess, but I don't know what the hell they're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be cool, is what they're supposed to be.
But it's enough for her to rip through a pause time thing that's around the Elmeth, yada yada, science magic.
I love science magic. That's the best kind of magic.
So cut to our mystery blonde guy here, Shirozu. He is, for some reason, this nightmare super weapon also has like a theater inside of it.
Well, okay, because I think it was built on like an asteroid base. They just built out of that because there's a rocky part we see at one point. And presumably, like, oh, in that base there was a theater, because that's what Zeon does. They love to be theatrical. Also, Gundam is theater. This is wonderful symbolism and a reference back to Zeta Gundam, and kind of in a way the original Gundam, where pilots in particular, Quattro, aka Char, aka Edward Bass, aka Casval Rem Daikun, in multiple times he like gets out of his suit towards the end of a series, has a confrontation with somebody else in Zeta Gundam in a literal theater,
like an opera theater.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of expected this to cut away to like the Gundam versions of Statler and Waldorf watching this from a balcony.
That would be great.
We don't quite get that. We get a little bit more back talking in the Zeta Gundam version of this. There's a few more people in the scene. But yeah, it's like Gundam is theater as he gets confronted by Kaecilia and she points her belt gun at him.
Also, I just want to say I really love the Kikiroga. And I will not hear anything bad said against it.
Yeah, right here in my notes, underlined, capital letters, secret disguise bangs.
Yes, because he pushes his hair back.
Because this guy just, like, puts his bangs, and surprise, it's Char.
Surprise, he's got blue eyes and a little scar over one eyebrow. Yes, it's Char, as we've all known. Except for, well, Rob, other than us telling him.
I was not aware of this. This was a surprise to me.
I mean, it was about him for a significant period for the first couple episodes.
This is true. I guess if he was going to disguise himself, I thought maybe he'd, I don't know, dye his hair.
You thought he would try.
That is a weird thing. Like, Char has had multiple disguises, multiple names, as I mentioned them. Never bothers to change his hair color. The most he does is wear glasses to hide his eye color.
You would think that if he was going to be in disguise, he would put effort into it, but you would be wrong.
I mean, his most distinctive feature is that he's super blonde.
Yes.
More so than anybody else on the show.
Yes. Yeah. Except occasionally his sister.
Right. Hmm. Wigs, hair dye, something.
Shave?
Nope, just gonna grow out some fringe.
And then it's easily brushed back aside for the dramatic reveal.
See, yeah. He's gotta have that ready. He can't go through, you can't, like, undye your hair suddenly for a dramatic reveal.
The wig! Wig always works.
I suppose he could take off a wig.
Grow a beard? Maybe he grows a bad mustache.
It was me, Char-O. Yeah, she's like, you know, hey, aren't you like a big old space Nazi? Shouldn't you also be up for me, you know, blowing up the entire Earth? And he's like,
not so much.
Oh, not so much.
It's more like, I was never doing it for you, honey.
Yeah, it was never about you.
I had my own goals.
And this is at this point, Machu kind of just busts in here like it's King Kong's opening night on Broadway.
Literally falls from the ceiling.
I love that she lands head first.
Poor girl.
Like her landing is a spine cracking landing. It's pure comedy, which is wonderfully like it was so high drama that Char and Kaecilia were just arching at each other and just pratfall.
So now she has ruined their moment.
Yes. Well, you're wrecked.
And it gets ruined even more.
Yes.
Because Machu in the cockpit of the her G-Quox was seeing Ghost Shuji.
No. Well, and okay, then, yeah, Machu's is G-Quox. I just want to be clear that Neon, again, has a suit called the Gundam Fred.
Yes,
this is
Fred.
Important.
Yes, the G-Fred.
I love it.
But Neon saw Machu talking to Ghost Shuji and following Ghost Shuji, who led her to the theater, and then Nyan follows, but Nyan doesn't get out of her mobile suit and just crashes into the theater with Fred.
The G-Fred just smashes through the wall, not quite Kool-Aid Man style, and is like...
Which is very convenient for Char and Machu, and, like, they just escape.
Yeah.
Just like, I need my fuckboy. Where is my fuckboy?
So she's like, you know, I kind of get like Shuji vibes off you, and I thought, is he gonna be like Char's secret son? Is that how this is gonna work?
I'm not sure that would work chronologically, but
no, I'm not 100% sure that works.
Yeah, he's not old enough.
Like, you know, I met him when he was like a young, like a promising young, like pilot trainee, and you know, he was, but maybe he was a little too new type.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nebulous, like, why he handed off the Gundam to Shuji other than, well, I'm trying to hide. I can't hide a mobile suit with me. I will hand it to this new type boy and fuck off. Maybe I can find him later if I need it.
I will give it to this child as Gundam tradition dictates.
So now the Sagnova is happening, and Char is now back in his, like, space Nazi outfit, or space Prussian outfit.
Yes, because Lala, in the Elmeth, the Rose of Charon, she's waking up. And, as mentioned last time, she is currently the most powerful new type around.
Okay.
So her waking up inside this thing that's magic parallel universe energy she just alters reality, and she remembers Char wearing his old shitty Nazi outfit.
She's like, so, hey.
Yeah. And you can sort of see she's got
a magical girl transformation.
It's pretty great.
And she like opens her eyes. She's got like the Jim Starlin eyes.
Yes. Yeah. She's...
The Camille eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
She can see everything. She can see the universe.
So who's Camille again?
Camille is
the main character of Zeta Gundam.
Yeah, he's the main kid from Zeta Gundam.
And
that'll explain why I don't know who that is.
Yeah, sorry.
In the SD Gundam versions of him.
Oh no.
Like the guy that was drawing the SD Gundam manga hadn't seen Zeta Gundam. So he didn't know shit about Camille, so he just drew him with stars in his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And it works, because that kind of does fit his personality.
He is Amuro Take Two. He's Amuro the sequel, except Amuro is also in that, but he's older and it's got stuff going on.
And only in a few episodes. Well, he was in prison between wars.
Well, yes. As you tend to be when you've been doing war crimes.
Not quite in prison. He was he was heavily under watch. He couldn't do shit.
Yeah, he was basically... Really.
Like he built a little plane and that was about it.
He was basically under house arrest on Earth.
Yes, that's the word I was trying to think of.
And then he also makes... or this also makes the Red Gundam reappear.
Yes. Without Shuji, it's empty, which is convenient for Char. Hey, now I have a Gundam to get into.
Yeah, so that he is going to...
It's even the right color.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have to stop to get this repainted, and we need an extra episode. Yes.
In this universe, he's the original pilot of that Gundam.
Right. Yes. So he's lucky that they didn't repaint it. What if the other guy had really liked purple or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of weird that, Shuji loved painting Kira Kira all over his base and outside the colony. I'm surprised he never repainted the Gundam. That's feels out of character.
Maybe that was a stipulation. Maybe Char was like, look, take this Gundam, because I cannot be seen. I have to go into hiding. But you're not allowed to touch the paint job.
Mm-hmm. So he is going to go and eliminate Lala to, stop all this craziness from happening.
Yeah, because he explains what we explained earlier about the two alphas unit thingies, they're resonating. It's I got to stop that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of breaking the universe.
And so Machu has to stop him, but so she's running through this theater, and Kaisila's out, hey, I know her. Takes out her laser gun. But then Nian just straight up shoots her in the back.
Yep.
Both of their guns appear to be actual guns. I'm not sure if they're actual guns, but both of them are Walthers.
Hmm. Probably. German something or Prussian guns. Yeah, they're probably
one of them. Does it? One of them has a WALT GHB, whatever the company thing in German is. So that was just very interesting to me that these were some very extremely realistic just gun ass guns.
And another reference to the original Gundam, Kaecilia shot her brother that she poisoned in the series in the back. Well,
ooh.
In the back of his head.
Ooh.
And he died.
It's not just toxic age gap Yuri. It is now tragic toxic age gap Yuri.
Ooh.
Which makes it hotter.
It does. It does.
Yeah, the Nyan shooting Kaecilia in the back doesn't kill her. It surprises the fuck out of her. Makes her bleed.
Yeah, no, she's clearly still...
So she needs medical attention.
Yeah. So I'm a little surprised. I thought that was going to be curtains for her. Pun intended.
Yeah, it kind of does feel like
in
it, but
the opera.
No, she didn't. Not quite, because we have another character's storyline to end with that death later on. Jan has a lot of other stuff going on. She's just, why did I just shoot the woman I have feelings for? Oh, because of my friend I met a few days before her.
Ooh, yeah, so she's beating feet out of here as well. So yeah, Trier is he's in this core and he's talking. You know, we've got these two.
I do love, like, before we brush past it, that both Chekhov's guns get used this episode in ten minutes. One to shoot someone, one to shoot a thing. It's like, yes. Oh, that's fun.
Thank you, Walter Koenig. So he's in the core of this thing. He's going to eliminate this this girl because time cop stuff is happening. He's got to do this before the two Ron Silvers come into contact with each other.
And also, like, it's cosmic irony that this is Alala. He never met Alala in this universe.
Right.
So he's going to kill the one person in the other universe who is fighting so hard to keep him alive, and he's going to murder her. And he doesn't even know that.
It's tragic, man. I love it when things are tragic.
So now Senomachu's there and trying to stop him, but then more weird energy stuff is happening. And then apparently the Kirakira is actually...
Lala's eyes open more and there's Kirakiras everywhere.
Yeah, it's apparently the Minovsky particles that are flowing in from another universe. This is very... We're at the end of a Star Trek episode. We're trying to come up with enough technological stuff to make this sound kind of plausible.
I really do like it in that, like, Kirakira as a thing wasn't really a thing in the original gun. I mean, there would be, like, new type flashes, and there would be symbolic things where, like, waves are rushing behind their eyes or something.
Yeah, I mean,
the Kirakira look is a nice effect, and that, oh, we get an explanation. Not that we need an explanation, but it's like, oh, two universes smacking against each other, and some people can see it.
It definitely, whenever they would have that kind of, like, sparkling effect in the original series, it definitely felt like it was just supposed to be metaphorical. But we're getting a little more literal with it here.
And then we cut back to Bearded Man fighting with Xavier, and Jen can explain Gundam fights as a metaphor for sex.
I just ship it, that's all.
Which I guess is a constant thing in Mecha, but like, it does feel like the tension here going on.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's hot and heavy, and by heavy I mean heavy weapons.
Yeah, well, I guess that kind of always been a undertone of Gundam fights, unintentionally probably.
Is this like that speech that Quentin Tarantino has about Top Gun in the movie Sleep With Me?
Possibly.
Talks about it being an extended gay metaphor.
Yeah, it's like that.
I mean, well, that's an obvious gay metaphor.
They are obviously working out some tension here.
Yeah. Hmm. So meanwhile, now
Caecilia feels the Kirakira thing again. That, like, oh yeah, she's a new type. They mention that again. It's been like such a long thing in Gundam. They're like, oh, Caecilia might be a new type as like a rumor. That it's fun to see it confirmed in this series. Which is so much of the series, like, not everything I enjoy about it is a callback to everything else, but the callbacks in the show are interesting.
Well, speaking of callbacks, so now, you know, Chara's like, you know, I gotta stop this time cop thing, and Shuji is all, no, you know, I was in fact sent here from the other side to stop this world that she created, which means that is he not from this universe?
Okay, yeah, this is where things get weird, and I don't entirely understand it, because I'm confused why he's from the other universe, and what does that mean?
Well, what it means is here is...
symbolic or something?
What it means is here we are now emerging from this energy maelstrom is the Gundam that I do not know the name of, but is the main Gundam that everyone knows.
Yes.
It's the Gundam.
The RX-78-2, the original, the White Gundam, Grandpa Gundam, a.k.a. the White Devil.
Yes, it is the Gundam.
Yeah, you know, you say, yeah, so, you know, it's the main Gundam, and people know, oh, yeah, you know, it's the main Gundam.
It's sure. The Gundam from Gundam.
Yeah.
Which, I'm kind of annoyed that they pulled it back, because they already have this universe's version of the original Gundam is the Red Gundam now, and it pisses me off a bit to a degree that, oh, we had to go back and pull the original Gundam into this series to end the series. However, the song that they pull is the ending theme to Char's Counterattack, and I fucking love that song, Beyond the Time. It's a banger.
Okay, I assume that would be like, I assume this was like some sort of old school Gundam thing. Is this one of the ones that's by Neil Sedaka?
No. The Neil Sedaka songs are the opening themes to Zeta Gundam.
Okay.
I don't know who did Beyond the Time.
I think this was the point where English singer. I really felt that a thing about multiverses is that a lot of times you can use that concept to tell a story about storytelling, about having characters who are archetypes while also being characters, and how that like affects them as people. And the point where original Gundam, the original recipe Gundam, shows up, I was like, okay, so what we are doing is addressing the way the series is sort of tied to and weighed down and always going to be affected by the original and needing to connect in some way to the original and maybe trying to find a way free of that, or yeah, that's where I'm like, okay, now we're getting metatextual.
Okay, that part is kind of interesting. And the next episode is basically fighting against the original Gundam to like create your own path. And that's what this series is.
Mm. It's like how things get, the characters are like stuck in these archetypes and these routines because that was what was set out by the original. And yeah, it's a whole thing. I love that stuff, man. I love that stuff. Mm.
It does kind of work in this series. I'm as much as I wish the original Gundam wasn't in this, what they do with it kind of works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this song is apparently by TM Network. Oh. They also did the theme for the ending theme for City Hunter.
Ooh. Oh.
But they're like a fairly big Japanese band.
Okay. Well, that just confused me, because there's another band called TM Revolution. Unless some people from TM Network became TM.
What about TM? Are they related at all? Megatron.
No, apparently TM Revolution is like one guy's stage name.
Oh, okay.
But apparently his name was derived from that band's name, but they do not appear to be related otherwise.
Okie dokie.
Right, you were thinking it was like a Jefferson Airplane, Starship situation.
yeah, that would have been my first guess, but no.
So yeah, this is very much the penultimate episode. We're setting up the grand finale.
Yeah, I kind of hate that, like, how short this series is, because they could have done so much more. Well, I wish there had been more the Gundam battle stuff, because that was fun on the colony. I miss those characters.
But I mean, I assume that there's, like, a big battle coming up at the end, which is...
Yes.
Yes.
It's Gundam. It all ends in fight.
Oh, it's big, all right. I am a little surprised that they didn't change the opening sequence partway through. Once it stopped having so much clan battle stuff and, you know, the people running the Pomeranians and all that.
Yeah, that's another thing. If this had been like two 13 episode chunks, like they could have had two different theme songs.
I really enjoyed watching Gal Gaigar, and you get like halfway, you get like 2/3 of the way through the series, and the opening credits are just jamming in all of these random things they have introduced so far. It's like, hey, there are these guys, and look, there's a ninja, and there's a sad girl, and there's this emo kid. Hey, look, all these other... there's this guy, there's the hammer guy, look, there's this guy with a guitar, and... It's
that's the thing I love. Like some series, like Scry does it, where like you'll have silhouettes of characters yet to come, and when they show up, like you see the character. It's like, oh, the silhouette's gone. It's that dude.
That's cool. But yeah, that that later Gal Gigar opening is just, it's a lot. It's just cramming everything in there. But I guess they don't do that these days with these 12 episode seasons. And I don't know, man, back in my day, used to just like
occasionally
things could happen.
Occasionally they'll have like one episode with a different theme song. But yeah, the 12 episode shows, it just doesn't happen as much. I mean, I do generally kind of prefer the 12 episode series. Because, like, oh, it's over and done with, and you wrap some shit up, unless it's adapting a manga, and we'll come back to it in a year from now.
I mean, it's a lot more watchable, certainly, but
yes, that's the thing. Like, sitting through a 50-episode show that, like, you're kind of enjoying, but you kind of want closure of some kind, it just keeps going. It's like, oh, man. No, just give me a bite-sized series.
Yeah.
But I still think Gundam should be at least 20 episodes.
I mean, this,
yeah, I think 20 episodes would be good.
It does seem like a thing that's supposed to sort of have like an epic sweep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one of those
space opera.
You know, like one of those like 70s, 80s miniseries that, you know, like had casts of thousands and were wildly melodramatic, but also there'd be giant robots.
Yes. Oh, that would be great.
Well, if we get Netflix Gundam, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that is the question. What are we thinking about this Netflix Gundam movie?
I mostly want to see what it is to see if it's worse than G Savior.
I mean, it would be hard to be worse than G Savior.
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I mean, the number of Gundam or the number of anime adaptations turned into live action that have worked, I can count on a couple of fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you enjoyed the One Piece.
One Piece is number one. I can probably make an argument for a couple other shows that I've enjoyed, kind of, but like mostly it's just One Piece. Like everything else, like since One Piece came out, it's like, oh, even the ones that I enjoyed in the past, like, are kind of ironically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's interesting because this is coming out, and there's also that Voltron movie coming out.
Yeah.
Which has been coming out for like 20 fucking years.
Well, they've actually filmed it.
I'll believe it when it's in theaters.
I mean, is the Robotech?
This one they've actually filmed.
Is the Robotech okay, they've movie actually filmed it. Coming out? Oh, yeah, I guess the Voltron.
I didn't know how far they were.
Voltron is legitimately coming out unless it's like a Batgirl thing. But they've completed like filming it. So they've just got to, you know,
okay,
do the robot stuff now, I guess.
Actually put it out.
So it is coming out, and then this Gundam movie, you know, they're casting, like, reasonably big names here, so it does seem like it's going to happen.
Yes. I mean, I'm more like, it's more believable that the Gundam movie will actually come out than the Voltron movie, which is already filmed for me.
I mean,
America is getting a lot of Gundam these days.
Yes.
Well, and also, I feel that there's an intersection between, like, anime fans and Sydney Sweeney fans here that could cause... I mean, this movie might also destroy the internet. We'll have to see.
Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah.
I know,
it's gonna get messy. It's gonna get messy. I should watch Madam Web someday. I shouldn't.
I mean, no, it's so terrible that it's worth watching just to question, how did this happen? Like, how at any point did anybody think this was a good idea?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been in so many movies I've never heard of.
Yeah, I need to know.
Half these posters look completely fake. What the hell?
What are you looking up here?
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, well, I mean, she's been in a lot of movies. I don't know.
I know, but like Googling her and seeing, like, half the posters look like they're AI generated. It's like,
I mean, that's entirely possible these days.
The voyeurs.
No, that's just kind of what
Christy.
That's kind of just what she looks like.
No, I mean, like, the titles. It's like, they look fake. Anyone but you.
That was a boxing biopic. It came out last summer. That was a big hit. That had Glenn Powell. It was like a rom-com.
I mean, I don't really hear about rom-com. Well, I guess I don't see as many trailers as I used to. It just,
yeah, no, that was like a legit hit. Like just, so that was like a big movie.
Dead Aunt?
That was like some sort of like horror movie she was in as like a teenager.
Okay, I don't know. They do these look all fake. Spider City.
I'm going to wait and see.
Sorry, what'd you say there?
Spider City, what the fuck?
I am curious about what happens. I do think it would be funny if Sydney Sweeney was Xeon.
I mean, she's very blunt.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, what are they going to do as the movie? We have no idea what the plot's going to be.
We do not.
Yeah, it's we don't know if... I don't think we even know if it's actually going to be Universal Century, but I would assume...
I think at one point we'd heard that, but who knows if that's still true.
I would kind of just assume they do their, like, own thing. But who knows?
I mean, my guess would be story that happens somewhere in the Universal Century, probably at the same time as the One-Year War again.
Right. I mean, it could be something
some
like...
other side story.
8th MS team that doesn't actually... Like, you could know nothing about Gundam and come in on 8th MS team and be like, okay, yeah. I can follow what's going on here.
Yeah, I would guess it'd be like that, or War in the Pocket, something like that. Something, a self-contained story that is adjacent to the One-Year War.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, maybe? I don't even know if I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm just sort of... I don't know. I need more details before I can form an opinion.
Production is supposed to start next month, so...
Okay.
We may find out.
So it's happening.
More with production commences. They've also just cast Shioli Kutsuna.
Mm-hmm.
She is Yukio in those Deadpool movies.
Okay. So someone who's fairly young.
Yes.
Yeah.
You gotta have young.
Well,
people.
Although, would you believe she's 33?
Oh.
Oh my God! I mean, oh, I'm me, and people still think that I'm like. In my 30s when I am 47 literal years old, so I will allow it.
Who is, like, playing the main character?
Oh, in Gundam?
Yeah.
Well, Sydney Sweeney is the first person they cast. And then the second guy is Centineo.
Okay.
What would do...
I mean, I'd be excited if Sydney, we have a female pilot for a
Did
Gundam.
You see Black Adam? He was in Black Adam. He was Adam Smasher.
No, I didn't see Black Adam.
Well, you're probably going to see him in something because he is in that new Street Fighter movie. He's playing Ken.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And he's also going to be in that new Rambo movie playing young Rambo.
Sure.
But
I still have a grudge against Voltron, so...
Why? Because of its insane Netflix fandom?
No, I have a grudge against Voltron because the reason they didn't dub the second half of Gal Gaigar was because the anime bubble was popping.
Yeah.
And the company that produced it only had enough money to either do that or do a Voltron box set.
And the Voltron box set was selling better, unfortunately. Pissed me the fuck off, too.
But you know what? They can do more... There's Voltron box sets coming out now.
Yeah.
That second half of Gal Gaigar is never getting dubbed. Mm. I mean, I guess they could do a whole new dub, but that's no fun.
Well, the weird thing about the Voltron movie is that apparently the like main heroes will not be like the known Voltron characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for Voltron, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Like, they always just do the original characters again, because that's all anybody really want. Well, all old people want. Older than us.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to have, like, a movie starring a guy named, like, Pidge.
You could change a couple
of them,
I mean,
it could be
but...
a girl named Pidge, like in Legendary Defender.
I think nobody wants to be named Pidge.
Well, no. You just change Pidge's name.
Yeah.
They got like
I like Legendary Defender.
Other characters whose names I can't remember.
It's finally coming out on DVD. So
yeah,
kind of surprised it's only DVD. But yeah, maybe they didn't produce it in 1080p. They had to have put it out in 1080p.
Should have. It was streaming.
Anyway, I have strong opinions about physical media.
Anyway, all right. Well, that does it for this week for Stasis Pod and for this month for the Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod. But we will return next month with the grand finale of Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod.
And yay! Then what is the future for us watching Gundam? We'll take a break for a bit, but
we have what will we my co-hosts inflict on me next time?
We should watch Brevern.
I
don't know what that is.
Maybe
it's so
I mean that
good.
That would interfere with my plans, but how long is that show?
I've been wanting to it's 12 episodes. Oh. I've been meaning to rewatch it because it was so good and deserves a rewatch.
I never actually saw all of it.
Oh, you should. Did you just see, like, okay.
3 or 4 episodes, maybe? I didn't get that far. I know one of the twists.
So good. It's so good, and then also specifically so good in a way that me specifically. It's the hole in the wall. Like, this was made for me.
Oh.
I don't have to subject other people to it.
That's well, I should fine. Probably watch it. Maybe we could do that for, like, news podcasts or something. Anyway.
So
not
good,
subject
though.
Rob to
so
it.
Good.
We need to subject him to more Gundam because it's funnier.
We know there's that new Hathaway thing that is coming out at some point, allegedly.
It's coming out this year. There's trailers. It is going to be in theaters. Maybe we'll do it in theaters now. More likely, we'll wait for it on home streaming.
Well, I'm going to have to watch the first one because I've totally forgotten what happened in it in the intervening 10 years.
So, 5 years, and so have I. I mean, mostly I remember there's Jollibee, and then there's the fight you see from people on the ground running away from mobile suits, which is cool. And David S. Pumpkins. That's about it.
Basically, the plot of Brevern is like if you take a gritty, realistic military mecha anime and drop like IDW Rodimus in the middle of it.
Okay, here's the thing, Jen.
It's amazing.
Know they advertised it only as a real robot show.
That's amazing.
The super robot that shows up was completely hidden in the trailers. I mean, the only giveaway was that Masami Obari was involved. And everybody was like, wait a minute. Or some people were like, wait a minute.
Wait,
but it was like real robot stuff, and it's like, then it wasn't.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Genre.
Anyway.
Action. Anyway.
It's also extremely gay.
Yes.
All right. So until.
Like, literally, textually so.
Like canonically.
Yes.
All right. Well, until next week when we're back with more Rescue Bots Academy. And next month when we're here for the finale of Gundam G-Class. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Hey, squiggles are squiggling.
I am recording. I am live from the cat room. She's just sitting here.
Minkowski particles have been released.
Minkowski particles.
Something like that, yeah.
Minkowski.